ॐ विष्णुपराय कृष्णप्रसाय बुद्धले श्रीमातिभक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनीति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी निर्विशेषशून्यवादे पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। Okay, so I see what the problem is with the microphone. I may not be able to correct it right now. On the wrong thing.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's not it. Anyway, we'll have to work on it later. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. All right. The sound's not going to be the best, but you'll just have to put up with it for this class because there's something with the microphone system. Okay, let's get going. Let me turn on lights, light, camera, action. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya, Chakshur, Un Meditam, Yena Tasmai, Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So welcome to the Chaitanya Charitamrita reading for tonight. And several things. Yesterday we spent the whole time on verse 8, and if you're interested in what we talked about in verse 8, go to my YouTube channel, Pure Krishna Goswami, and look up chapter 12, verse 8, which is what we did last night. So you'll hear it's a very important talk about the Gaudiya Mouth, a very important talk about the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If you weren't on last night, please listen to it later on when you get a chance. Very, very important. We went into the history of everything. Please listen to it. Okay, and so today, before we start, I just want to share the good news. I finally made a reservation on an airplane after a whole year, and I am flying, if Krishna blesses me. I'm not flying to New Zealand, not flying to Australia because they won't let me in. Not flying to Fiji because they won't let me in. I am flying to New Orleans in about 2 weeks from now. I am in ecstasy at getting on a plane again. And it's like a long lost friend. Not seeing someone I haven't seen in a whole year. And anyone who wants me to come there, I'm on my way. Anyone who wants to invite me, can get me in their particular country, I'm on my way. But you have to get me permission to go there. I've had my vaccinations. I'm ready to go, I'm ready to roll. So anyway, that's the good news for today. Anyone who's wondering why I'm so ecstatic today. So now we will go. We will go and share the screen. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dwaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dwaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 12, and today we're starting with text 9. As I mentioned before, we spent the whole day yesterday, text 8, talking about some very, very, very important subject matters. Very important subject matters. So please, if you get a chance, listen to that on YouTube. And also Facebook, but it's going to be hard to find on Facebook, but YouTube, yesterday's posting, live posting on YouTube. Okay, text 9. Keha taha charya hukyaya keha taha svatantra samatta kalpan adhkare taiva paratantra. Some of the disciples strictly accepted the orders of the Acharya and others deviated, independently concocting their own opinions under the spell of Daivi Maya. So purport, this verse describes the beginnings of a schism. Schism means a break. Like what happened to Jatasandha when Bhimsen grabbed one foot. And he grabbed the other foot and split the guy in two. Well, that was good. That schism was a good schism. Because the story of Jarasandha is that Jarasandha was born in two parts from two different ladies. And they threw the parts away, and this witch Jarasandha, this witch Jara, joined the two parts together. And she brought Jarasandha, that means Jara was born, who was brought together by the witch Jara. Anyway, she brought him back to the king, and the king was very happy to have his son back. And when the king got his son back, Jarasandha became the next king, and he was so powerful, the only way he could be defeated was a schism. So that's what a schism is. So Bhimsen, after wrestling with him for like 28 days, decided to, under Krishna's instruction, decided to split him apart, and never the twain shall meet. So when disciples do not stick to the principles of accepting the order of a spiritual master, immediately there are two opinions. Any opinion different from the opinion of the spiritual master is useless. One cannot infiltrate mentally concocted ideas into spiritual advancement. That is deviation. There's no scope for adjusting spiritual advancement to material ideas. Acharya ramataye se matasara tanagnya lagni yagi lagni, sorry, chale seta asara. The order of the spiritual master is the active principle in spiritual life. Anyone who disobeys the order of the spiritual master immediately becomes useless. Here is the opinion of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Persons who strictly follow the orders of the spiritual master are useful in executing the will of the Supreme, whereas persons who deviate from the strict order of the spiritual master are useless. So that particular distinction is a very important distinction. So you can't always judge things externally. Oh, they're doing very well. But you don't know whether Krishna's pleased or not. The point is that sometimes we may be thinking Krishna's really pleased with us, when he's not. And sometimes we could be thinking, Krishna is not pleased with us. But he is. Why is that? Well, Prabhu or Prabhi or Prabhiti, we have imperfect senses. We make mistakes and cheating. So many imperfections we have. So the main thing is making mistakes. We make mistakes. And the first one, third one, or fourth one is we're in a loop. So because of these imperfections, the only way we know technically if Krishna is pleased is if the spiritual master is pleased. It's the only way a conditioned soul goes, or the other Vaishnavas like that. if the spiritual master is not around. But it's really objective. Spiritual master says this, and you disagree. And we're not talking about little details. You know, like Prabhupada said, let's say if Prabhupada said, you should eat mangoes every day. And I don't eat mangoes. Does that make me a deviant? No. But a prophet says, go preach in a particular location, I say, no problem. That means I'm disobeying, even though I may have apparent success in doing what Prabhupada didn't want. But, you know, this can't judge externally. You can't judge externally and say, oh, it's beautiful. But there's so many spiritual groups out there. And we're not talking about Gaudiya Vaishnavas or anything like that, but there's so many spiritual groups where everything's based on the feelings. It feels so spiritual. Oh, I'm in ecstasy. So, you know, chill out, as they say. You know, there's objection. Objective, not objection. There's objective standards. Just like in this material world, there's objective standards when you're dealing with science. And probably called devotional service the science of spiritual life. Objective things. Subjective. Okay. There's no need to name those who are useless. I have mentioned them only to distinguish them from the useful devotees. Danya Rashima Vape Yache Patna Sahite Vishate Patna Udana Samskara Karite. Patty is mixed with straw at first, and one must fan it to separate the patty from the straw. Of course, we're talking about rice right now. Like rice or wheat or something like that, there's all these different rice in particular, you gotta separate it from the actual thing you're gonna cook with. This example is given by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. It is very appropriate. In the case of Gaudiya Math members, one can apply a similar process. There are many disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Bhakur, but the judge who is actually his disciple to divide the useful from the useless, one must measure the activities of such disciples in executing the will of the spiritual master. This is a very heavy purpose. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur tried his best to spread the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to countries outside India. When he was present, he patronized the disciples to go outside and he preached the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they were unsuccessful because within their minds they were not actually serious about preaching his cult in foreign countries. They simply wanted to take credit for having gone to foreign lands and utilize this recognition in India by advertising themselves as repatriated preachers. Very heavy statement. Very, very heavy statement by Prabhupada. We should not criticize Prabhupada's godbrothers. That is not the etiquette. Prabhupada is doing this because they tried to interfere when he wrote this purport. They were trying to interfere with his preaching or criticizing him for preaching to Westerners, making Westerners sannyasis, having women in the temple. Him in position in the Krishna consciousness movement. Many different reasons, you know. And it's not for me to analyze his godbrothers, not the right etiquette. But Prabhupada is making a point. And in fact, one of the main preachers who went to the West to preach and came back, and I'm not going to mention his name, although I know his name, don't write it down. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur refused to send him money for opening a temple. We're not talking about New York now. We're talking about in Europe somewhere. And also when he came back, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not talk to him again. And that's pretty heavy. You know, your sannyasi disciple goes out to a foreign country, comes back, and you know, there were some, one devotee at least made, or someone in England too. And you don't talk to the person again. And then you have the case where Prabhupada's godbrothers, when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was present, they would try to encourage Prabhupada, push Prabhupada to join the mission, you know, to be part of a particular temple or whatever, which meant working under them. But Bhakti Sanatha Saraswati Thakur, he made a very interesting statement. He said, leave him alone. Due course of time, he will do everything. And that's just paraphrasing. In other words, don't push him. Because Prabhupada was completely focused on the order of his spiritual master. So, you know, what Prabhupada is saying here is a fact. We're not arguing with that, but it's not for us to criticize Prabhupada's godbrothers. It is a fact, and Prabhupada has that prerogative, that adhikara to do this. Whew. Many swamis have adopted this hypocritical means of preaching for the last 80 years or more, but no one could preach the real cult of Krishna consciousness all over the world. They merely came back to India falsely advertising that they converted all the foreigners to the ideas of Vedanta or Krishna consciousness. And then they collected funds in India and lived satisfied lives of material comfort. As one fans paddy to separate the real paddy from the useless straw, by accepting the criterion recommended by Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, one can very easily understand who is a genuine world preacher and who is useless. You know, here Prabhupada, you may say, well, Prabhupada is praising himself. He's not praising himself. There's no false ego there. Prabhupada is making this point to protect the members of the Krishna consciousness movement from those who would criticize him, which means at that time some of his godbrothers, and that would have the effect of destroying or hurting the faith that those devotees had. Srila Prabhupada. I mean, even there was one of Prabhupada's godbrothers who reinitiated one of Prabhupada's disciples. Prabhupada left this disciple, and I'm not going to mention the name again because it's not my prerogative to do that. Prabhupada left this disciple in the care of one of his godbrothers in Vrindavan, actually. And this godbrother of Prabhupada actually kept Prabhupada's letters, which Prabhupada kept writing to this particular devotee. And I know this history because I talked to this devotee. This is not simply an invention. So Prabhupada was writing to this devotee. But Prabhupada's godbrother did not allow the letters to reach this devotee. And then this devotee had the impression that Prabhupada didn't care or just dumped him off in India. And then Prabhupada's godbrother went reinitiated. And Prabhupada was so upset. You know, at one particular point, and this is something I sort of hinted at the other day, and forgive me for getting into the same subject matter that I talked about yesterday, when Prabhupada discovered that in the books the BBT was printing, the small issues, the second canto, and I was there at the time, so this is first-hand information I have given you. Prabhupada opened up the book, and the binding fell apart, and they hadn't put Prabhupada's name there properly. Prabhupada attributed that lack of respect that was indicated by at least the name being improperly put on the book, not actually listing Prabhupada's position in relationship to ISKCON. Prabhupada attributed that to the poison of some of his godbrothers. So Prabhupada immediately called for some of his disciples to take him to India. And then what happened? There was a lot of confusion in the movement. And many of the devotees had not really understood the philosophy that Prabhupada was teaching so well. So there was a meeting or a festival in New Vrindavan. See if I get a picture of that. Then I was around at that time. There was a festival, and many of the devotees were preaching that Prabhupada went to India and Prabhupada was Krishna. You know, they're preaching in impersonalism. And Prabhupada was displeased That's why he went to India, because he was very displeased with the devotees. In other words, Prabhupada is Krishna, he's displeased. Complete nonsense. And then Prabhupada heard that, and at that particular point, Prabhupada disbanded the GBC and told the devotees to deal with him directly. I remember it was heavy time in this one. The letter came from Prabhupada, who was in India at that particular juncture. He said, just work with me directly. Don't pay attention to the GBC. Really heavy. And then later, Prabhupada kicked those devotees out of Sai ISKCON. The devotees came back and they rectified themselves. You know, there's a sort of a happy ending to that particular story. But it's very dangerous, the interactions Prabhupada had with some of his godbrothers. I mean, there were many of his godbrothers who were not envious, many of them. And, you know, I visited some of them and they were very wonderfully appreciative of his divine grace to the Prabhupada. So I felt like being uncles at that point. However, I never felt that I should take shelter of them. I just felt that here is an uncle who's appreciative of my father, his divine grace to the Prabhupada, because the spiritual master is the eternal father. And we have in this world a bodily father. We all have bodily father, I hope. Unless you were born from a test tube. Like they have test tube babies at this particular point. But, you know, anyway. But most of us, we have a father. And some of you may not even know who your father is, but at least you did have a father. But that's temporary. The eternal father is the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada is our eternal father. And or spiritual master, it doesn't have to be Srila Prabhupada, is our eternal father. It means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So let's go on to the next verse. Of course, this is all in the context of talking about Advaitacharya's sons. And this is rather Advaitacharya had six sons, three were his sons, and three who he rejected, so he didn't consider sons because they actually took the wrong philosophy. And three were great pure devotees of the Lord. So even if you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, you don't always hit 100%. What is this question? Or mother? What is that question? Or mother? Oh, mother. The Vedas are our mother. Okay, that was the question. The Vedas are our eternal mother, and Lakshmi is our mother. I can't think of Lakshmi as my mother because she's in relationship with Krishna, but Lakshmi and Durga is our mother. But eternal mother in the Vedic literatures and the instructions coming from the Vedic literatures. So, anyway. Achyutananda Bhadashaka Acharyananda. If your guru is a woman, then your guru is your eternal. That's an interesting question. Wait, let me just answer this question. If your guru is a woman, is she your eternal father? I guess so. Because the relationship is fatherly. That's an interesting question that I never heard asked before. Win the prize for asking me a question I never heard before. Has got me thinking. If your guru is a mother, it's still like parental relationship, your eternal parent, but eternal guide. That's interesting. That's a very interesting question. Yes, yes, your eternal mother. But the guru, in one sense, you could say the guru is your eternal mother and father. Never heard that one before. That is interesting. It's something that we have to meditate on. But, you know, some people have lady gurus and they worship them. I think they worship them in the mood of father, even though they're not fathers. It's just like guide, protector, like that. So let's think about that. That's something I have to ask my I've asked the deities that question tonight. So, let's go on. Achyutananda Bhadashaka Acharya Nandana Ajanma Sevila Teno Chaitanya Charana. A big branch of Advaita Acharya was his son Achyutananda. From the beginning of his life, he was engaged in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Goshanire Guru Keshava Bharati E Pitari Vakya Shuni Duka Paila Ati. When Achyutananda heard from his father that Keshava Bharati was the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very unhappy. Now, we told this story before, but we'll tell it again. Jagat Guru Te Tubikara Ache Upadesha Tumara E Upadeshe Nashta Haila Desha. He told his father, your instruction that Keshava Bharati is the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will spoil the entire country. Chodo Bhuvanera Guru Chaitanya Goshani Tanra Guru Anye E Kona Shastre Nai. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the spiritual master of the 14 worlds, but you say that he is someone else, that someone else is a spiritual master. This is not supported by any revealed scripture. So here you have the son. Anyway, let me get to that other question that we had in a second. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the spiritual master of the 14 worlds, but you say that someone else is a spiritual master. This is not supported by any revealed scripture. So here you have Achyutananda chastising his father because he's talking about the ontological position of Lord Chaitanya, where his father was talking about pastimes. Yes, we can understand Srila Prabhupada is our eternal grandfather. Here's another question. If Advaita Acharya's three children were not pure devotees, what's the Lord trying to tell us in relation to raising Krishna conscious children considering Advaita the Supreme Lord himself? He's telling you it's a potshot. No, what that means is it's not exactly like throwing dice. I was actually talking to someone about that today. Why, if parents have children, the parents are Krishna conscious and they've done their best with the children to raise them in Krishna conscious, why do sometimes the children not become Krishna conscious? Well, I can answer that in one word, and that is association. Because we have Krishna's son, which I've given that example many, many times before. Krishna's son of Boma, and Krishna had a son with the earth planet when Krishna assumed the form of Lord Varaha. And Boma became a demon, and Krishna had to kill him. And his wife, Bhumi, that's the earth planet, was begging Krishna, don't kill him in the future. Don't kill him in the future. And Krishna was so tricky that he brought Satyabhama, who was non-different than Bhumi, with him when he went to attack Bhumasura. And Krishna got permission from Satyabhama because Bhumasura was attacking Krishna. And she said, kill him, kill him. And Krishna said, thank you for giving me permission. So everybody has free will. One can be the son of the Lord and one can go off the rails by bad association. One can be the son of a pure devotee and go off the rails by bad association. One can be the son of a demon and become a devotee. Who's an example of that? Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakashipu, and he had good association while he was within the womb of his mother. He heard from Narada Muni, and he became such a great devotee, he was preaching when he was a little kid. So here's the point about association. When we talk about children, we actually talk about two different aspects that shape their personality or desires. One is called nature, and the other one is called nurture. Nature is what someone is born with, and nurture is what happens after they're born. In other words, what association they have after they're born. And it turns out that nurture is more important than nature. Otherwise, a lot of us wouldn't be here in the Krishna conscious movement if the nurturing or the association after we were born wasn't more effective than nature. So it is association. And that's why you have so many injunctions given by Krishna, by Krishna's devotees like Rupa Goswami. Like I said, Sangha Chagi Vaishnava Chara, Lord Chaitanya stated that. And then you have Nirmana Mohajita Sangha Dosha. That's Krishna in the 15th chapter of the Gita. And then you have Srila Rupa Goswami stating Achahara Prayasa Chapa Chapa Nirmagra Jana Sangas. Jana Sangas means bad association with ordinary people. And also in his positive injunctions in the Nectar of Instruction, he says Sangha Chagat, keeping up bad association. So there's a lot of information about that. So the main point with children, what is the main point? Is when the lady is pregnant, of course, there should be Krishna Katha going on all the time. So the child in the womb hears, and mother hears too. You know, we're also concerned about the mother. And then after the child's born, to be careful with who the child associates with. Because you never know. You never know. You know, you go, that's why Prabhupada sometimes would call modern educational institutions a slaughterhouse. Because you send your little child to this place where God knows who he's going to associate with. And it's not the school so much. It's the people who go to the school that are the problems. I mean, I remember when I went to school, I mean, I pretty much thought to myself, but, and I tell the story, I've told the story many times before, but you can hear it again, that one time I went to school and by some association, I picked up some really bad words, you know, four-letter words. And I came home that night. I mean, of course, I was innocent, pure as snow, you know, innocent. So I came home that night and tried out those four-letter words on my mother. And those four-letter words were like a truck driver's words. What the? And my mother was so shocked, she took me in the bathroom and washed my mouth out with soap because I had a dirty mouth. But that was because of association. Had I not had that association, I wouldn't even know. Now, of course, people are associating with the worst possible elements when they go online. And I was just talking to one devotee today who was taking care of some children. And she was saying that this particular child, he spends most of his time playing violent video games. You know, little boy, 7 years old, playing violent video games. And so the child, she said, I can't take care of him. It's not, that's not the mother I was talking to, but the caregiver, like the nanny. And she said, you know, I can't do it. The kid is just like, whoa, forget it. And it's all because of association. Karanam Gunasangasya Sadasad Janma Janishu. So it just depends on who you associate with. It determines what you're going to be. So therefore, the child should be protected. How to do that? You have to figure out some way and also enable your child to have a good education at the same time. It's a trick. It's tricky in this material world. Here in Nubaloko, we have some of the children who are homeschooled. In others, we have a little dead Krishna conscious day school. We have a very good teacher. Actually, the best teacher in the whole three worlds is here. You know, just, wow, Krishna sent the best, the very best teacher. Anyway, I'm sure she's listening. So anyway, so you have to figure out some way to take care of it. And then also the children should be attached to the mother and father. And the mother and father have to be good devotees. You know, if the children see the mother and father fighting like cats and dogs, the children are not going to want to become devotees. If the parents are not devotees, then the children will become devotees, just to rebel against the parents. So, yeah, it's tricky. It's like playing the dice, you know, whether the children will actually pick up bad association or not. And it's risky. But I've seen many successful cases in Krishna consciousness where the children became great devotees. Actually, our teacher here, she was raised by Christian conscious parents, and she became a great devotee. And her children are great devotees too. Or child, she has one child, is a great devotee. Anyway, so it's kind of difficult. Even raising disciples is kind of difficult. So let's continue with this particular discussion. Panchama vashera balakakahi siddhantera sara shunya poila chara santosha apara. When Advaitacharya heard the statement from his five-year-old son Achyutananda, he felt great satisfaction because of his conclusive judgment. Commenting on verses 13 through 17, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gives an extensive description of the descendants of Advaitacharya. The Chaitanya Bhagavatam Chakanda, chapter 1, states that Achyutananda was the eldest son of Advaitacharya. The Sanskrit book Advaitacharita states, Advaitacharya Prabhu had three sons who were devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Their names were Chuta, Krishnamishra, and Gopal Das, and they were all born of the wombs by Sita Devi. Advaitacharya also had three more sons whose names were Balaram, Sarupa, and Jagadish. Thus, there were six sons of Advaitacharya. Among the six sons, three were strict followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and of these three, Achyutananda was the eldest. Advaita Prabhu married in the beginning of the 15th century Shakabda, the late 15th century AD. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to visit the village of Ramakeli while going from Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan during the Shakabda years 1433 and 1434, that's AD 1511 to 1512, Achyutananda was only 5 years old. The Chaitanya Bhagavat, Anchakanda, fourth chapter, describes Achyutananda at that time as Panchavarsha Vayasa Madhura Digambara, only 5 years old and standing naked. Therefore, it is to be concluded that Achyutananda was born sometime in the year 1428, that is AD 1506. Before the birth of Achyutananda, Advaita Prabhu's wife Sita Devi came to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at his birth. Thus, it is not impossible that she had the other three sons by Advaita within the 21 years between 1407 and 1428, Shakabda, that is 1486 and 1507. In an unauthorized book of the name Sita Dvaita Charita, published in Bengal in the unauthorized newspaper Nityananda Dayani in 1792, Shakabda, that's AD 1870, it is mentioned that Achyutananda was a class friend of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the Chaitanya Bhagavat, this statement is not at all valid. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the renounced order of sannyas in the year 1431, Shakabda, 1509, he came to the house of Advaita Prabhu at Shantipur. At that time, as stated in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Anchakanda, chapter 1, Achyutananda was only 3 years old. The Chaitanya Bhagavat further states that the naked child, the son of Advaita Prabhu, immediately came and fell down at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord immediately took him on his lap, although he was not very clean, having dust all over his body. Lord Chaitanya said, "My dear Achyuta, Advaitacharya is my father, and thus we are brothers." So this is very interesting, because Advaitacharya was very much older than Lord Chaitanya. In fact, you know, he and his wife, Sita, were there at the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yet he had younger children than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his spiritual forms during his residence in Navadvip, he asked Sri Rama Pandit, Sri Vas Thakur's brother, to go to Shantipur and bring back Advaitacharya. Achyutananda joined his father at that time. It is said, Advaitera Tanaya Achyutananda Nam Parama Balaka Seho Kande Avirama. Achyutananda also joined in crying and transcendental bliss. Again, when Lord Chaitanya beat Advaitacharya for explaining Srimad Bhagavatam from a personalist viewpoint, opposed to the principles of Bhakti Yoga, Achyutananda was also present. Therefore, all these incidents must have occurred only 2 or 3 years before Lord Chaitanya accepted the sannyas order. As mentioned above, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat Anchakanda, chapter 1, it is stated that Achyutananda, the son of Advaitacharya, offered his obeisances to the Lord. Therefore, it should be concluded that from the very beginning of his life, Achyutananda was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no information that Achyutananda ever married, but he is described as the biggest branch of the Advaitacharya family. Didn't get rid of the sun. Ridiculous to get rid of the sun. I just covered up my room so the sunshine couldn't come in. From a book named the Shaka Nirana Yamrita, it is understood that Chaitananda was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit and that he took shelter of Lord Chaitanya Jagannathapuri and engaged in devotional service. The Chaitanya Charitamra Adi Lila, chapter 10, states that Chaitananda, the son of Advaitacharya, lived in Jagannath Puri, taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Pandit, in the last years of his life, also lived with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. There is no doubt, therefore, that Chaitananda was a disciple of Pandita Gadadhar. In the accounts of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing in front of the car during the Rath Yatra festival, Chaitananda's name is to be found many times. It is stated that in the party of Advaitacharya from Shantipura, Chaitananda was dancing and others were singing. At that time, the boy was only 6 years old. Text 87 of the Gauranganadesh Dipika, compiled by Sri Kavi Karnapur, describes Chaitananda as a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit and a great and dear devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the opinion of some, he was an incarnation of Kartikeya, the son of Lord Shiva. Wow. And according to others, he was formerly the gopi named Achyutha. The Gauranganadesh Dipika 88 supports both these opinions. Another book, Narottama Vilas, compiled by Sri Narahari Dasa, mentions Achyutananda's presence during the festival at Kaituri. According to Sri Narahari Dasa, during the last days of his life, Achyutananda stayed in his house at Shantipura, but during the presence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he lived at Jagannath Puri with Gadadhara Pandit. Okay. So let's see, we went up to 17 today. All right, so now we will take some questions. We'll stop sharing. Okay. And allow you. Okay, you're allowed to unmute yourselves now. Is anyone brave enough to unmute themselves? No. Pran Govind, I see him.
Nobody has it.
I haven't let Pran Govind ask a question. I've been missing him the last few days.
Thank you, Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances, all goes to Prabhupada. Even if you miss me for 1 minute, it's my greatest fortune in this life.
All right.
That means I'll be delivered, Maharaj. Great soul
okay,
like
you're
you.
Delivered. You're delivered. I was delivered too when I was born. The doctor delivered. In the hospital. Hempstead General Hospital, I was delivered in. All right, so.
Maharaj, I have two questions regarding Advaita Acharya and Achyutananda.
Okay.
First question is, what is the principle that the three other sons did not agree or align with the philosophy or?
Principles of devotional service. It's not really, I mean, I haven't read anything really specific, but they didn't, you know, they weren't aligned with devotional service.
Hmm.
Exactly what that means, you know, whether they were Mayavadis or whatever, but they didn't accept the devotional service being taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by their father, Advaitacharya.
It's still... being a children of a Vishnu Tattva, Mahavishnu, Advaita Acharya, there must be some going back home, back to Godhead or something.
Well, I'm sure there's some benefit that you have a pure devotee mother and father. I mean, there must be some benefit. I don't know. But if they oppose, they commit offenses, then all that benefit's eradicated.
I see. It's like Narakasura you mentioned. Yes.
Yeah, they must have been really offensive for Advaitacharya to reject them. It's not that they were just like materialists, like the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. I mean, Advaitacharya, first of all, Raghunath Das Goswami never considered his father and uncle not to be his father and uncle. He just considered him to be one's stool, as Lord Chaitanya said. So, but to consider someone not your son, that's a heavy thing.
Yes.
That's a heavy thing for someone to say, this person, these three persons are not my children. He even gave them devotional names.
You know, yeah, so. Jagadish, Damodar, yes.
Balaram.
Balaram.
Yeah, Maharaj, so.
Another question is that, I don't know, maybe I'm a little crazy. How to grasp that Achyutananda is Kartikeya, son of Shiva, and Achyuta Gopi from Vrindavan, both are in one body, or just, I mean, I'm not saying that's speculation, but how do I keep my mind focused on that, that accept it as it is?
Because many times when we talk about someone appearing to someone else, they're like empowered incarnations. You understand?
Okay.
Empowered. They may not necessarily be the person, but they may be empowered by that person.
I see. Like you, I see.
There's avatars and what? Shaktivesh avatars.
Right.
Shaktivesh means they're empowered. Like, what was that? Nrsingananda Brahmachari, for example.
Mm-hmm.
In past times. And Prabhupada is a Shaktivesh avatar. And then, Minaketana Ramdas, Prithu Maharaj, Lord Buddha.
Yes.
You know, you had all these Shaktivesh avatars. So, yeah, so someone can be empowered by someone and be considered to be an incarnation of them.
Okay.
Just like I'm an empowered incarnation of Kali Yuga.
I'm not
Kali, but you know, I'm an incarnation of quarrel.
You have a genuine humility, Maharaj. I appreciate. Thank you.
I don't know if I'm humble. I'm just humorous. You got the H is right. Instead of humble, it's humor. You got to get the spelling right.
Thank you.
All right. Good question. So let's get someone else. Okay. And I think Rakesh has a question.
Yes, Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Okay.
The question is like, in our body, we like soul stays in our body, like, you know, the subtle body soul. And then we also have Paramatma in our body. So
yeah.
Super soul and soul, we have two soul inside us?
Yeah. Like two birds in one tree, the Upanishads say. One bird is watching. And neither of the soul is actually material. Neither of the souls is materially situated. Their presence is manifested in the heart. But Super Soul is not doing the action. He's just watching us. He's watching us just like a reflection. Sometimes the example is given. The Super Soul is present just like a reflection of the moon or the sun on various bodies of water. Like if you go out to the lake and the sun or the moon is reflected, you say, oh, look at the moon. the moon is actually on the lake. So in the same way, the presence of the super soul is manifest, and he's watching us. He's the knower. He's Kshetrajna. We are also Kshetrajna, but he's the super knower. And everybody, he knows what you've been thinking. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. I don't know if you ever heard that poem. There's a poem in America, probably in Europe too, where they talk about Santa Claus. Anyone's heard about Santa Claus? No. You're all just innocent, pure devotees. So there's a song about Santa Claus. You better watch out. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Because Santa Claus is coming to town. He knows when you've been sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good. Goodness sake. This is a song. I mean, those from the Western world will know this song. So Krishna is there. He knows when you've been sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. You better chant now. Better wake up. Time for Mangal Arati. I'm waking you up. Krishna's coming to town.
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
So that's a super soul. Super soul. I mean, we have a devotee here who likes superheroes, so he should have super soul. He should have a super soul outfit with four arms. Who, dressed as an ordinary person, able to lift planets without even trying. Super soul. Who was that? Super soul. Anyway, I hope that entertained Gopal. So anyway, all right. So let's, someone else ask a question. Sita, you have a question.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Sorry, I don't have a question, but I just wanted your blessings. We're doing some book distribution here in the market.
Right.
Yes. Thank you. I just want to introduce Harsh. Oh, sir. Harsh has been really... He's very inspired and wants to take initiation. Prabhuji, take your shelter.
Hare Krishna.
Hang on, don't go away. We're going to take a photo.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
All right. We'll see you soon, as soon as I can get to Australia.
Yes, yes. We really miss you. There's a lot of people who really want to take shelter. And
yeah, I'd like to get there as soon as possible, but Australia won't let me in right now.
Yes.
Okay.
We are just in the market doing book distribution. So sorry, I should go, but I'm very
all
blessed
right. May Krishna bless you for distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. You're very, very much pleasing Prabhupada by your actions. Be assured of that.
You.
Okay.
Haribol.
Okay, Gopal, you have a question?
Thank you, Gurudev. So even now, but especially back then, to be renounced by one's own father is extremely, extremely heavy, even for someone who's a professed Mayavadi. So wouldn't the three sons, or at least one or more of the three sons, rectify themselves when Advaitacharya would say, you're rejected? Why wouldn't they, you know, say, oh, sorry?
You'll have to ask them that question. I wasn't there. I mean, obviously they had some bad influence. And you see that now. You see even that now in India, someone may have very good parents, but then they go to some school. I mean, actually, this is interesting. I was talking to one of my disciples in India, And I was asking him, because he went to IIT, Delhi. So that's really high class. And I was asking him, so most of the students who join ISKCON, what sort of background do they come from? And he was describing that most of them who join ISKCON and IIT come from the village. They don't actually, they weren't born in Delhi or from a big city. Because when they've been in a big city their whole lives, they become so sophisticated that they become contaminated. And another thing I asked him was previously, he's married now, happily married to a nice girl. But I told him when he was looking for a wife, I said, so why don't you, you're in Delhi, you know, he's a big businessman. So why don't you find a wife there? And he says, I'm not going near any of the girls in Delhi. They're all contaminated. And I was going, wow, what happened? And it's just because of association. I mean, I'm not saying they're all contaminated or anything like that, but it's dangerous. You know, that's why Lord Chaitanya said the first principle of a Vaishnava is a satsanga jag, avoiding bad association. And it's so contaminated you can hardly understand how dangerous it is. And we don't properly associate that, understand that. I mean, it's even said that if you eat food cooked by someone who's not Krishna conscious, your mind becomes wicked. And Prabhupada gave the example of Kripacharya, Dronacharya, grandfather of Bhishma, who were eating food in Duryodhana's kitchen. And their minds became contaminated. They fought on the wrong side. I mean, apart from the vows that they had made and everything like that. But they, according to the Mahabharata, they were able to be possessed by demons because they actually ate contaminated food. Why is that food particularly affect one? Because according to the Ayurvedas, food becomes transformed into blood. I mean, according to science, that's a fact. And when the blood carries the consciousness, like if you get a transfusion from a demon, then all of a sudden you're just like, you become a demon. Of course, you know, if you have to get a transfusion, try to get devotees to donate blood. Try to get a pure devotee to donate blood. If a pure devotee donates blood to you and you have a transfusion, you'll come out a pure devotee. That's a good idea.
That sounds like an effective preaching strategy.
Yeah, I think I'll buy the pure devotee. Give me a transfusion. I mean, it's a nice preaching strategy. So anyway, so association is so important. I mean, you know, just like if you watch a movie, let's say I watch a movie about some superhero, and just then I actually feel like I want to be like that superhero after a while. Or I get a t-shirt of that superhero. Or even a mobile phone with the superhero's picture. So, you know, it affects consciousness. It's really amazing. Anything we do or anybody we associate with affects our consciousness. Okay, on that happy note, I'm getting a surgery on Monday and I need a transfusion. Can I donation of my pure blood? I got the wrong type. You're not my type. So anyway, so anyway, yes, it's dangerous. It is dangerous, association. You know, that's karnam gunasangasya sadasad janma chonishu. Okay, on that happy note, I think we have to end now because we have a life after Zoom. So we'll see everybody tomorrow night, same time, same station. Tomorrow night it's our Sunday feast, virtual Sunday feast. All glories to His divine grace. Shilpa Upad, Shilpa Upad.